And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And we are so glad that you're here today as we have gathered together to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. This morning there are a few announcements I'd like to share before we begin our worship. And a lot of things happening, a lot of good things happening that we're excited about. And I just will begin that tonight, one change, the youth will be leaving at 5 o'clock for Judgment House. We've got 4:30 in the bulletin, but if you would note that at 5. And then when they return, between 7:15 and 7:30, we're going to trust them to text Mom and Dad or call Mom and Dad or Mom and Dad just to be here at 7:15 to 7:30. The youth will then be setting up for our fall carnival. And we need some help. We need the parents, if you could, to come and help us so we could move the stuff and get things going like they need to be. So around 7:15 to 7:30, but make an arrangement maybe to get that word and just be here to help set that up. We would appreciate it. Also, we're going to be doing a dessert walk. Now, that's not walking on dessert, but that's going to be walking for dessert, kind of like the cake walk. We're afraid when we say cake walk, you'd say, well, I don't do cake, so you figure you're out of it. We're going to do dessert walk, so I mean, you could bring ice cream, maybe not, but anything, brownies, cakes, pies, cookies, and we'll be giving them away during the cake walk, dessert walk. So if you could help us with that for our carnival that will be 6 to 8 this Thursday evening. So we appreciate that, and we're also collecting in our kitchen on the other side there, the small kitchen, individually wrapped candies that we need as well. So we would appreciate that. And you know, that'll be a wonderful opportunity for you to practice that recipe, because next Sunday is homecoming. And we want those recipes perfected for homecoming. I hope that the church house will be filled. This will be the first time as a church that we'll be able to use the newly renovated fellowship hall. We're excited about Daryl Watson coming, a youth that grew up in this church that it's been pastoring now and will be bringing us the morning message. And just a wonderful time for us to come together and celebrate the gift that is Flat Springs Baptist Church. We look forward to that next Sunday. Call some folks, maybe some folks that you haven't seen in a while, and say, hey, Sunday's homecoming. We need you here. Maybe some folks that haven't been but could come back to be with us. I know a lot of times folks leave and go to other churches for their homecoming from our church family. It would be great to see some folks maybe that Flat Springs is just a significant church in their world. And we look forward to that time together in a very, very special way. I hope you'll look at the bulletin and see all the other announcements. One thing I do want to mention, we are redistributing the dime banks for World Hunger. And there was just a bit of confusion, and I want to try to set the record straight. We do want you to put dimes in your World Hunger banks. You can put $100 bills if you want to, but we'd like dimes, okay? If you put $10 bills, don't put any dimes. That's the way I feel about it. But seriously, but what we've asked, and this is where a little bit of confusion got, was as we get close to maybe the week before, if you could count those dimes and then turn those dimes in to your bank and then write a check, that saves a few people doing a lot of dime counting. But during what we found is it's a very painless way. And just to remind you that before we started the World Hunger Banks, we would collect around $200 or less for World Hunger on World Hunger Sunday. Since doing that this year, I think we're right at $2,500 already right now. And we still are collecting those banks, so if you haven't turned in a World Hunger offering yet, or you haven't turned in your bank especially, we'd like for you to do that. And now you can go out and pick up your bank to get started again. We've been distributing them. So thank you for your help in that regard. And I hope that clarifies. Save your dimes all year. If you can, count them and bring us a check. But if you can't, just bring the bank full of dimes and we'll take care of it from there on out. Are there any other announcements that need to come before us or maybe aren't in the bulletin? We are still collecting for the the trip that's going to be going. And today's the last day. If you'd like to go with us to Kentucky, we're leaving this Thursday morning around 8 o'clock. We'll be back Saturday. And if you'd like to go with us, we'd love to have you. We're going to try to do some things around that. We don't know what we're going to do yet. But the big thing is we're going to be carrying the blessing. And we've got the trailer three-quarters full. Full. The trailer is full. But we'll still figure out some more stuff. You bring it, we'll get it there. Okay? We'll make it happen. So we appreciate the generosity, because to fill that trailer up with the stuff you brought is a tremendous testimony of the generosity of this church to help people who literally cannot help themselves. And some of them, this is the only way they're going to have clothing. And so thank you for that blessing. We'll continue to collect that through Thursday. Don't bring it next Sunday, okay? That will be too late. The train leaves at Thursday, and we won't do it.
Wednesday night.
Wednesday night's the cutoff. Very good. We're going to finish figuring out all we need to get it there. So if you could help us with that, we would certainly appreciate it. If you're a visitor with us, and by the way, we had many who visited during our block party, and several of them, I got those registration cards. I've been looking those over. Several of those wanted more information. We're so delighted to have visitors every time. And I like the way Matt says, if you are a visitor or you've never filled out a card that's in the pew in front of you, that is a guest card. We would invite you to do that. We would appreciate having a record of your visit with us today, and just place that in the offering plate when we collect our offering. And now, it is time for we, the people of God, to focus our energy, our effort, our minds, our hearts, our lives on the living God, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we have gathered in this place in Your name to worship You, for You are so worthy of our worship. We pray, O God, that You might shine upon us, that You might shine through us. We pray that You might speak to us, that we might speak for You. We pray that You might touch us with Your love, that we might touch others with Your love. We ask that You receive our worship in Jesus' name. Amen. Now would you take a moment or two and prepare your heart to continue to prepare to worship the living God.
Glory to his name, he is holy. We want to sing two verses of page 254, Holy, Holy, and then turn over one page to 256, to Father, I adore you. Two verses there as well. Let's all stand.
Hey guys, how are y'all? That is fantastic. Well, Mr. Matt is away on vacation right now, so if you'll let me, I'm going to share a word with you. And he always likes to start off by asking you a question, doesn't he? So my question is, what is your favorite thing to eat at lunchtime? Pizza. And cabbage. Pizza and cabbage. That works, okay. Pizza and cheeseburger. What? Hot wings? Buffalo wings? Well, nobody's got my favorite yet. Let me see. We're not going to make one, but we're going to talk about, this is what I call a lunch kit. You might say, well, it could be a lunch bag or box. But the first thing you need for lunch is a napkin. That's important, right? And for this, we're going to need a knife. Okay? You got any idea where we might be going with this? This is some of my wife's homemade strawberry fig preserves. It's a lot like jelly. It is some good stuff, now I'm telling you. Yeah, now we got a piece, we got a napkin, knife, we got this. What? Peanut butter and jelly. Here I got some peanut butter. All right. So what, a peanut butter and jelly what? Sandwich.
Sandwich.
A sandwich. Well, got a little bit of a problem here. There ain't no bread. Exactly. Well, but I've got what we need, right? I mean, the main thing is the peanut butter and jelly, right? So maybe I could just spread it on my hand. What do you think? Ew, that wouldn't be fun, would it? Well, for our scripture today says, now there abides faith, hope, and love, these three. And the napkin and the knife are kind of like the church building. They're very important for us because they help us do what we need to do. But we don't eat this, do we? It just helps us get ready to eat. And having maybe faith and hope, that's great, but that's still, we still need what?
Bread.
We still need bread. Somebody said love. Well, it just happens. And we got bread too. Isn't that good? See, that's neat because now with the church building and the church property and all the things we do, we got the stuff ready. With the hope and the faith, we've got the heart of it, but the thing that holds it all together is the bread. So today when we talk about the greatest of them being bread, just like we couldn't make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and you could make a peanut butter sandwich, right? Or you could make a jelly sandwich. But without the bread, we're in a lot of trouble. I guess we could get a spoon, but with our knife, we'd be in a lot of trouble. So I want you to remember as we talk about faith, hope, and love, peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Let me pray with you. God, thank you for this wonderful group of young hearts that come to worship here at Flat Springs Baptist Church. They are so special. And we lift them to your care, Lord, that you might help their faith to grow, their hope in you to increase, and their love to continue to develop as we strive to be church together in Christ's name. Good to have lunch with me today. I'm excited. That's a good thing. If I go long, I'm already prepared, see. Some of you saying, I didn't bring my sandwich, Pastor. Don't go long. So I heard that. Let me ask you to open up and see our prayer concerns, and there are some names I'd like to add to that. I want to begin with a praise. Miss Allie Liza McFarland, 7 pounds, 9 ounces, made her arrival into the world about 10 o'clock this past, on October 24th. It was Thursday night, Friday night? Thursday. And she's doing fine. They're home. They went home yesterday. I talked to Kayla, who is also recuperating from the C-section, and she's doing well. And she said that Allie decided to stay up. She had an all-nighter her first night home. She just decided to stay up all night. And so they will be doing that adjusting, as you are aware. Also just heard that Jerry's mom, Nancy Moss, is in the hospital after a fall. We want to keep her in our prayers in a very special way. And then I received word yesterday that my sister, Nell Knapp, is currently in the hospital in Tyler, Texas, and is going to undergo heart catheterization in the morning. So we would covet your prayers for Nell and ask that you would remember her. And then I also share with you that our Nell Coble, went home from the hospital. She are back to Parkview. She's back in the room that she has been in. The family has called in hospice, and we want to be keeping them in our prayers in a very special way. As they share this time with her. And then as I was coming in, Bill Bavere shared with me that a co-worker with him had an accident and has broken his back, Joshua Remington, and is going to be undergoing surgery, also will be out of work. We want to be keeping him in our prayers in a very special way. You see this list of names of folks that are so important to us, each one of them. We want to continue to keep them lifted up as we pray together now and all this week. Would you pray with me? God, would you be with us as we continue our worship now, as we come into your presence, and how appropriate it is in worship to lift the names and the needs to you, to pray a prayer of intercession, to intercede on behalf of those we know and love, those who have special needs. And so, God, as we lift them to you, we pray that you might Bless them in a very special way. Be with them in this difficult place in their life and fill them with your faith and your hope and your love. Guide us now as we continue to worship you. In Christ's name, we ask.
And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through.
My treasures are
laid up somewhere beyond the blue.
The angels
beckon me from heaven's open door.
And I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's the wake I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Oh Lord,
you know I have no friend like you.
If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do?
The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
I have a loving Savior up in glory. I don't expect to stop
until I with Him stand.
He's waiting there for me.
Anymore. Just up in glory land we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory, victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Oh Lord,
you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I can't feel at home.
I can't feel at home
in this world.
Expecting me, what a wonderful idea that they have. Those that have gone on are expecting me and expecting you. So let's don't let them down. We want to be in heaven. Page 514, when we all get to heaven, first, second, and last verses. Let's all stand.
Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day to honor you. Please accept this offering as a small token of our appreciation for the many blessings that you give us each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Shine, Jesus, shine. Thank you, choir, and thank you for the Lord. I thought it was wonderful how that a cappella number reminded us of how beautiful the voices without music are. And then when Gail and Regina played Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name, how beautiful the musical instruments are as they come together, and just been wonderful this morning. We come to the last verse, the 13th verse in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the summation verse of it all, the putting it all together and reminding us that all of the parts of our Christian walk come together in three major categories, and together are intricately entwined and are a part of one another, that you cannot separate them any more than you can a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. How powerful faith and hope and love really are. How life-changing they are. When we can remember, as For the Lord told us, that this isn't our home, and we don't need to be too comfortable here, for we're just passing through. It's faith and it's hope and love that keep prodding us on, that we might travel together. This morning, if you're able, let me invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of the last verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Would you pray with me? Lord, would you speak to us for a moment this morning, that we might take the emphasis we have had for the last 8 weeks and bring them to conclusion now, and hear you say that the greatest that we can do is to love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our closing hymn this morning is page 323, Come Ye Sinners, Poor and Needy. Page 323. If you would just mark that, we would be greatly appreciative as we come to that moment. Well, I entitled the sermon, The Big Three. This trilogy, Paul uses many times, and in fact, sometimes a fourth, he adds knowledge on some occasions, but in Colossians and Thessalonians and Romans, and here, of course, most poetically in 1 Corinthians, he couples or triples these together, faith and hope and love, for just a moment or two. Let's see how they work together and culminate in love. The first thing is, let's talk about faith, because faith is the exercise of what we believe. We know that physical exercise is important. We're told it's important. But I read a piece by a fellow named Ed Bezik that might argue against that a little bit. Here's what Ed says. He says, a lot of people think that they're self-acclaimed experts. Take this health food advice. I heard that cardiovascular exercise can prolong your life. Now, is that true? Now, your heart is only good for so many beats, and that's it. Don't waste them exercising. Everything eventually wears out. Speeding up your heart won't make you live longer. That's like saying to extend the life of your car if you drive it faster. Want to live longer? Take a nap. See? He's reframing it, isn't he? Should I cut down on the meat and eat more fruits and vegetables? You just have to be logical, he says. What does a cow eat? Hay and corn. Think about it. And what are these? They're vegetables. So steak is nothing more than an efficient mechanism for delivering vegetables to your system.
So you just got to reframe it a little bit. Are fried foods bad for you? You're just not listening, Ed says. Foods are fried almost always in vegetable oil. Don't you get it? Sit-ups to help if you're getting soft around the middle? Definitely not. When you exercise a muscle, it gets bigger. If you do sit-ups, your stomach will be bigger. Don't do them, Ed says. Is chocolate bad for you? Hello? Cocoa beans, another vegetable. And some say exercise. Exercise is good, like swimming is good for your figure. If swimming is good for your figure, explain whales to me, please. Oh, we can reframe everything, can't we? It's been interesting to me. I enjoy a cup of coffee, and 1 week coffee's good for you, and the next week it's not good for you. Because we can reframe, can't we? Faith is the exercise of our faith. I wonder if sometimes I don't do like Ed and reframe exercising my faith. I rationalize it away in a way that says, well, what I'm doing is okay. It may not be what the Bible says. It may not be what I was taught in church, but my way is okay. We must realize the importance of exercising our faith. We believe God can help us live fulfilling lives. Then we must exercise our prayer life. Let me invite each of us to do an inventory. If prayer is conversation with God, if you can talk to God, to the living, all-knowing, all-loving, all-powerful, everlasting God, and if that conversation can change your life, then may each of us for just a moment take an inventory and ask ourselves how much time we spent talking to God last week. I wonder if we were to get one of those stopwatches and just carry it in our pocket, and every time we prayed, we started it. And when we stopped praying, we cut it off. If at the end of the week, we might look at that clock and say, wow, I had a standing invitation to talk to God Almighty. And I talked to Him 3 minutes, 6 minutes, 10 minutes. Out of 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Exercising one's faith. Prayer changes things, but we must pray. We must pray. Bible study, God's word, God's instruction on how to live. That's where our faith really finds its traction. It's when we are in God's word and we are studying God's word and we are applying the truths of God's word to how we deal with one another, how we deal with circumstances, how we deal with problems. If we got a second stopwatch and clicked it every time we started reading God's word and clicked it again when we ended reading God's word, I wonder what that clock might look like at the end of the week. Worship and ministry, exercising one's faith. By our faith, we believe that God has secured eternity. We stand here saying there's heaven. Many of you have been to funerals whom the pastor would stand and say, we believe that this dear saint, because of their faith in God, is now in heaven. We believe that. Are we exercising that faith? Jimmy Carter, in his autobiography, made a powerful statement, and one that we can't make maybe to running for office, but we certainly can make in our own life and the use of our time. Listen to what he said. He shared this incident that reminded him of his lack of sharing his faith with other people. Each year, the congregation of Plains Baptist Church, where he lived, held a one-week revival. In preparation for that week, the congregation would venture into the community, inviting non-church members to the services. Carter would always make a few home visits, read scripture, have a prayer, share some religious ideas, and Then talk about the weather and crops. Peanut farmer, you remember. Carter wrote, I was always proud enough of this effort to retain a clear conscience throughout the remainder of the year. One day, Carter was asked to speak at a church in Preston, Georgia. The topic that was assigned to him was Christian witnessing. As Carter sat in his study, writing and thinking, he decided he would make a great impression upon the audience by sharing with them how many times he had made visits for God. He figured up from his notes and all that he had, since he, at this point, had returned from the Navy, he had conducted 140 witnessing visits. Now, that's pretty good. But as Carter sat there, he began to reflect on his 1966 governor's election for Georgia. As he campaigned for the state's highest office, he spent 16 to 18 hours a day trying to reach as many voters as possible. At the conclusion of that campaign, Carter calculated that he had personally met more than 300,000 Georgians. Sitting in his study, it became evident. The comparison struck him. He said, 300,000 visits for myself in 3 months and 140 visits for the Lord in 14 years. I wonder, are we exercising our faith? Are we sharing our faith as though our neighbor, our friend, our family's lives, their eternity depends upon it? Faith is so important. We must exercise it. Secondly, this morning, hope. That's the expectancy of what we believe. Whom we believe in leads us to what we believe about our future. Listen to this speech of a famous politician. We have been the recipients, he's speaking of America, of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers and in wealth and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. That speech was made in 1863 by President Abraham Lincoln. I wonder what Abe would think today about forgetting God, thinking our superior wisdom and technology. Hope is the expectancy. We must never forget what we hope for. Too often, we tie our hope to this world. And friends, that's like leaning your ladder against a limb and sawing off the limb. We sing, and rightly so, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. I thought as the instruments played, Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. That's where my hope is. I believe that's where your hope is as well. What we believe matters about our future. When I realize that God has prepared so much for me. I hope, like a child says, I hope I get it Christmas. I hope I get it my birthday. My hope is grounded in my faith that believes what God has begun in me, He will conclude. And that helps me to realize this isn't where I need to feel at home, as the quartet sang. Finally, this morning, love, love. You know we had to end here, right? Love. Love is the evidence of what we believe. It's the evidence of our faith and our hope. Love is. Someone has asked, if you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? That would be tied directly to how much you love people. We must love, or our faith and our hope, they're both in vain. Love. Love is not how I feel about you, because that may change. You may hurt my feelings, and I may not feel a whole lot towards you. But I am never allowed to not love you. And how do I love you? By my actions. By how I treat you. Now, when you need me, I'm there. When you ask forgiveness, I give it. When you fall, I try to help you up. When you're hurting, I come and cry with you. When you're sad, I try to come and comfort you. When you're happy, I try to celebrate with you. When it's all good, I come and thank God with you. That's love. That's what church is. We've been blessed with a beautiful facility, but this is not church. That's wood and carpet and electrical wires and brass. But I think why, when the instruments play on Sunday morning, people sing on Sunday. You know, sometimes I heard the quartet singing on the TV in the nursery, and that was good, but it's different. It's different when we come in here. And you know why it's different when we come in here? Because it's 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. That's why it's different. You say, what's wrong with that? Why would that make it different? I'm glad you asked. Because what makes that different is this is the hour that Flat Springs Baptist Church, we come together. You weren't with me in the nursery when they were singing, or when I walked down the hall and heard the instruments playing. And it was beautiful then, and it was wonderful then. But it is life-changing and holy when they sing it here during this hour, because the church is here. The church is here during this hour. And when we're here, Flat Springs Baptist Church is here. Love. Love brings us here. Our love for God, our love for each other. Love is what keeps us going. The writer of Hebrews understood that faith and hope and love all came together in a powerful passage. And let me conclude this morning with another story that reminds me of a truth that the writer of Hebrews caught. A sick man came to his doctor. He was preparing to leave the office, and he said, "Doc, I'm afraid to die. And I have a very serious illness." "You're a Christian. Tell me what's on the other side." Very quietly and honestly, the doctor said, "I can't tell you the details of that." "You don't know? You're a Christian man, aren't you? You're supposed to know what's on the other side." The doctor was holding the handle of the door on the other side, which at that moment came a scratching at the door and a whining. He opened the door, and a big Labrador retriever came running into the room and immediately sat beside the doctor. The doctor said, Did you just notice my dog? This is the first time he's ever been to my office. I'm taking him to the vet after I conclude here. He apparently got out of my office. He's never been here before. Never been in this room before. But did you hear him scratching at the door? And when I opened the door, did you notice that how unafraid and quickly he ran in and sat at my side? The man said, yes. The doctor said, I don't know what's on the other side. But like this dog, I know this. My master is on the other side. And that's enough. That's enough. When the doors open, I'll pass through with gladness and with no fear. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that aren't seen, and the bread upon which faith and hope are spread is the bread of love. How we treat one another and how we treat God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we have gathered in this place to worship you, and your Spirit has been real to us today. Thank you for that. You have spoken to us through the music. You have spoken to us through the prayers, through the giving of our offerings, through our children, through the beauty of this sanctuary, through the promise of your word and its proclamation. You have spoken to us today. And now at the conclusion of worship, we must decide what we will do with what you have said. How we will live with how you have touched us today. How we will leave this place to be your witnesses in this world. To share our faith and our hope with others who have no faith and have no hope. And Lord, you will do it through love. God, we're grateful for your presence. We're grateful for your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision about the one who loves us so much that he gave his son, and how we love him back through our faith, through our expectancy, our hope. If you need to respond, would you do so as we stand together? I don't know if I've ever told y'all this. Y'all sing really well. Do you know that? This is the only time I don't sing, so I don't get to hear me, and I just listen to you. You bless my heart. Thank you for being here to worship with us this day. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people of love in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? God, would you go with us from this place? For we have a job to do for you, O Lord, to carry your love to a world that desperately needs your love, to remind a world that might have forgotten you that you still love them. And we will show them in how we love them. Help us to be salt and light in a world that needs your salt and your light. In Christ's name we pray.
I'm gonna tell the gospel story. I'm gonna sing about it.